Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time to the Bible Crossfire radio program. We talk about what the Bible actually has to say. As far as what we teach and believe religiously, many people, it seems like they think that they get to pick and choose out of the Bible what they think they want to believe. We want religion to be this way. We want Christianity to be this way. This is what we think should be right. Instead, what about this novel idea, being sarcastic here, of actually opening up the Scriptures and seeing what it says and let God, through the Scriptures, decide for us what the truth is. For example, last week, we understand there's a lot of claims that the book of Romans teaches Calvinism. Maybe not the other book so much, but surely the book of Romans teaches Calvinism. But we proved last week, we looked at the book of Romans itself and showed that it teaches exactly the opposite of Calvinism. It teaches in Romans 5:12 against original sin. Romans teaches against the idea of salvation by faith only also. Many people think the book of Romans teaches salvation by faith only. For example, they think a text like Romans 5:1 teaches such. Here's how that reads. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we have another text, James 2:24, that decisively refutes that notion, salvation by faith only. Here's how that reads. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You see? The text tells us about something by faith only, that says salvation, justification, is by works. It's not by faith only. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther was so set on thinking Romans chapter 5, verse 1 teaches salvation is by faith only that he called James, quote, an epistle of straw, because he knew it didn't line up with his view. There is no contradiction. Romans 5:1 does say we're saved by faith. It doesn't say we're saved by faith only. That's somebody who's taken the text, the verse, and added the word only to it. Romans 5:1 says we're saved by faith. James 2:24 says we're saved by works, not by faith only. So we are saved by faith, but not by faith only. There's no contradiction. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. You might have a question or comment about this teaching of salvation by faith only, or any other Bible topic. Give us a call. You know, even the salvation by faith only advocates recognize conditions of salvation other than faith. How could they do that? They say salvation is by faith only, but how could they recognize conditions of salvation other than faith? Yes, it's a big inconsistency. For example, right here in the book of Romans, we see a passage that not only conditions salvation upon faith, but confession. Let me read that. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Sometimes this is called part of the Romans road to salvation. It teaches salvation is by faith, but it contradicts the view that salvation is by faith only because it says a person also has to confess with his mouth in order to be saved. So it's by faith and confession, according to this passage. Let's further examine the book of Romans. Does the book of Romans seem to teach salvation by faith only, as many people say, or does it teach salvation is conditioned upon faith and obedience, like the rest of the Bible? Or as I like to say in the terms of that famous song, trust and obey. Is it faith or trust only? Is that what salvation is predicated on our part? Or is it trust and obey, faith and obedience? Some say, well, maybe other parts of the Bible may teach obedience is necessary, but Romans teaches salvation by faith only, does it? Let's start with one of the fifth verse in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 5, it says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So the book begins by talking about obedience to the faith. You see, it's not faith only, it's faith and obedience to the faith. Robert from Florida, go ahead with the Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, there is a thief on the cross when Jesus died, and he lived a life of sin, and he said to Jesus, remember me when you get into paradise. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me. That guy didn't have any time to do any good work, and that guy on the cross didn't have any time to be obedient because he died. So the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. I disagree with having work, because if you live a life of sin, you have no work, and on your deathbed you accept Jesus Christ, you will still go to heaven if you accept.
Hey, Robert, I got a question for you. You know that verse I just read? It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, this is Romans 10 verse 9, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you think that a person has to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead to be saved, according to that verse?
In my opinion, no. Just as you confess, but you have to have it faith, because it's by grace we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay, but right, that's, I understand. That verse, though, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It sure sounds like you have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead to be saved.
Yes, sir. I can see that point. I can see that. I think over time, God will work in your heart to give you more faith and to believe more as you read the Bible more. But if you never read the Bible your whole life, and all of a sudden you're learning, it takes a hard time to learn that stuff automatically.
Yeah. Now, here's one thing I was getting at, Robert. This verse says that a person has to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead to be saved, but the thief on the cross, he couldn't have believed that. Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead yet. What that shows us, Robert, is that the point I'm next about to make, and that is the thief lived under a different dispensation than us. I'm going to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. We're going to see that. It says, for this cause he, talking about Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So what that passage is saying is that the New Testament did not come into effect until after the death of a testator, just like any will does not go into effect until after the death of the author of the will. The New Testament law, the thing that teaches a person has to be baptized, did not go into effect until after Jesus died, after the thief was gone. And so the thief, he lived under the Old Testament law. People who lived under the Old Testament law didn't have to be baptized to be saved. That's why the thief didn't have to be baptized to be saved. The same reason he didn't have to believe in the resurrection of Christ to be saved. Even though Romans 10, 9 says you do have to believe that Christ was raised from the dead to be saved. That's because Romans 10, 9 is part of the New Testament law. The thief lived under the Old Testament law. And so even under the Old Testament law, trust and obedience was necessary. And in the New Testament law, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So it's not faith only, it's believeth and be baptized. Trust and obedience. Now we showed a while ago, the very beginning, the fifth verse of Romans says it's obedience to the faith. And then at the end of the book of Romans, Romans 16 verse 26, for now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see, it's not faith only, it's obedience of faith. So the book of Romans, chapter 1, begins with obedience to the faith. Chapter 16, it ends with obedience of faith. So the book of Romans, this book that's said by many to teach salvation by faith only, in the very beginning and the very end, talks about obedience to the faith. Obedience of faith. Randy from Illinois, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I had a question on a topic you were discussing earlier, not on this program, but on a prior one. It's concerning the woman's place, and you are of the belief that a woman should not be a minister. Is that correct? Am I correct in my understanding of that? I didn't know.
Yeah, what we normally call a minister or a preacher in the church, she shouldn't preach in the church. Remember, and I can read this passage more thoroughly in a minute, but the end of 1 Corinthians 14:35 says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. That's probably the verse I read the last time you were listening, right, Randy?
1 Corinthians what?
Chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. Let me go ahead and read it.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." So Randy, it says, let your women keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted to them to speak, and it's a shame for women to speak in the church. And that's why I'm opposed to that, Randy.
Okay, and there are no verses that elaborate on that or were related to that in
the
Bible. You know how certain things you can... it says one thing one place, and then it adds to it in another chapter or another book.
There's no place elsewhere in the Bible that says something different than that. Now, here's a passage that's very similar to it. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence."
Okay. I got it.
Do you have any follow-up, Randy?
No, I thank you. Thank you for that information.
Hey, you know, do me a favor and send me an email so we can talk further over email throughout the week after this program's over.
Okay, I will.
BibleCrossfire@email.com. Would that be okay, Randy?
You bet.
Thank you, Randy.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Let me mention that to anybody in the listening audience. Send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. If you'd like to talk to me further about the Bible, also I have a weekly email message I send out once a week by email. If you'd like to be put on that email mailing list, request that at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Excuse me, and I will BibleCrossfire@email.com, and I will put you on that mailing list. Donald from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just have a comment about. You know, I listen to your program often, and I hear all these Christians calling, accusing, talking about you safe or you're not safe. If we need to do this to be safe or whatever, they don't see every point. I was listening on the radio. Somebody says, "Well, you don't need this to be safe," and don't refer to the thief on the cross. But that thief was a special thing. He was on the cross. He didn't have the time to go and show and to follow the commandments of Jesus about talking and preaching the word and living like the world where you're supposed to. And I just think that many people in the States, all they have is so much time in their hands instead to be praying for the persecuted Christian that's been killing every day and prisoners. They're just accusing each other. Don't follow the scripture. They think that the Lord talked to them, but they don't even know what the Lord when the Lord talked to them, because they're like conformed to this world.
I think you're right, Donald. That people don't want to accept what the Bible says. That's your comment, right?
Yeah, they don't want to accept, and they want to live with the sin behind, hiding something in there. They don't want the Lord to bring it up because it will hurt them. You know, they think there's so much to give, so much to do. They just want to say, "Oh, well, just sit down here, and Jesus done it all, and I'm fine." And that's not the scripture. I mean, I came from a country. I mean, the people is persecuted to be Christians. I mean,
hey, Donald, can you send me an email? Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com so we can discuss that further, okay?
Okay.
BibleCrossfire@email.com. We'd love to talk to you about it. Thank you for your call, Donald. Sure. You know, another passage that teaches that salvation is not by faith only, and it's right here in the book of Romans, the book in question, is Romans 10, 13, and 14. Now listen to this passage carefully. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" So the text makes it clear you have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But then it says that you can't call upon him until you have believed first. See, calling comes after believing. That's the point of verse 14. And the point of verse 13 is that you have to call to be saved. So belief, faith only, is not enough. You have to believe. Once you believe, then you can call upon God to save you. That's something after belief, something in addition to belief, that you have to do to be saved. So salvation is not by faith only. According to this text, it's by faith plus calling upon the name of the Lord. Now, somebody might raise the question, how does one call upon the name of the Lord? Well, let's answer that, but first let me mention the number to call. If you have a Bible question, the number to call again is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. So Romans 10, 13 and 14 teaches you have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and that comes after belief, so salvation can't be by faith alone or at the point of faith. How do you call upon the name of the Lord? Well, I think we can see it clearly from Acts 22:16, where Ananias told Saul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now, Saul had believed on the on Jesus on the road to Damascus 3 days before this. Now, if salvation was by faith only, he would have been saved 3 days before this. But here we have Ananias telling Saul something he has to do to get his sins forgiven. So he obviously wasn't saved when he believed 3 days before. He had to be baptized to wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So the way you call upon the name of the Lord is by doing what he said to do to get your sins forgiven. In this case, to be baptized to get your sins washed away. It's just like Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Just like Peter said in Acts 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Not just believe, not just repent, but repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Let me try to get back here with Robert again. He's calling back. He called early in the program. Robert, go ahead again. Thanks for calling back.
Yes, yes. I'm very intrigued. Thank you for taking my call. I don't know the Bible verse, but it does say somewhere that your works are like filthy rags to God. So if I do works and still have faith in believing that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, then I'm confused because I don't have any good works. I'm a sinner. I constantly sin, not on purpose, but sometimes I do. So why would Paul even put that in the Bible if he would say that your works are like filthy rags to God?
Well,
that means God isn't
because
your work.
In the context where that is, and I believe it's in Romans 3, he's talking about what earns our salvation, Robert. The death of Christ is what earns our salvation. And when we're talking about what earns our salvation, our works are like filthy rags. But when we're talking about what does a person have to do to be saved, what does a person have to do to receive the salvation provided for by the death of Christ, then our works are important. For example, listen to this passage. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says, "And being made perfect, he," talking about Jesus, "became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Now, our obedience would be as filthy rags when we're talking about what earns our salvation, because that's done by the death of Christ. But as far as what do we have to do to be saved, it says Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That would mean that people who don't obey Christ won't receive eternal salvation. That's as clear as day. You can't make it any clearer than that. How about Matthew 7:21? "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So you're not going to enter into heaven unless you do the will of the Father which is in heaven, according to that verse, Matthew 7:21. 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." Do we purify our souls by believing the truth? Of course. But this verse says we purify our souls in obeying the truth. So if we were to believe and not obey, our souls would not be purified. Not according to this verse. Anyway. And then, how about 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8? It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it takes both. It takes knowing God, believing in God, and it takes obeying the gospel. Have you ever obeyed the gospel? A lot of people don't even know what it means to obey the gospel. They've never obeyed the gospel. This shows that it's required to obey the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. The Bible, New Testament says that several times. And you have to obey the gospel. The New Testament also says that several times. They're required if you want to avoid the flaming fire talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. We're talking tonight about Romans, and does the book of Romans teach salvation by faith only? Let me read one more verse before we get off that topic. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Did you see that? It's not just belief. Belief is not all there is. This says you have to be baptized. It says we're baptized into Christ. That means if we hadn't been baptized yet, we're not in Christ. We're not in fellowship with Christ. We're not in a saved relationship with Christ. The way you get into Christ, a saved relationship with Christ, is by being baptized into Christ. And it says you're baptized into His death. Well, certainly a person can't be saved without getting into Jesus' death, without receiving the benefits of Jesus' death. Well, this says that you're baptized into His death. That would mean if you're not baptized, you're not in Christ. You're not in His death. You don't receive the benefits of His death. So the book of Romans not only teaches you have to have faith in order to be saved, it teaches you have to be baptized to be saved. It's just like the song says. You have to trust and you have to obey. Trust and obey. And the book of Romans teaches that just like every other book in the New Testament. You have to believe and you have to obey. That's what the book of Romans and every other book in the Bible teaches. Andy from Indiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, Patrick. How are you this evening? I just wanted to make a comment. I'm trying to get in my mind where we should discourage or where we should point Christians that point to Christians their doubt. Should we constantly encourage them that they're wrong in their beliefs, or should we constantly encourage them that they're right in their beliefs and their faith and their love for Christ and their love for others? Or should we try to point out to them as often as we can that what they're doing is wrong, and that they can get caught up they can get so caught up in that they would not be saved? Or should we encourage them that Christ has died for them, that they are saved, and that they have a blessed assurance in that salvation?
Well, let me answer your question. I think it's pretty simple. If you're in a first grade math class and you're teaching mathematics, addition, and one student teaches answers the question 2 plus 2 is 4, then I think we ought to encourage them and say, you're right about that. But if another student says 2 plus 2 equals 5, we shouldn't tell him he's right. That's a false sense of hope. We should tell him, because we want him to get it right the next time to correct him, we should tell him that he's wrong. 2 plus 2 is not equal 5. 2 plus 2 equals 4. And it's just like that religion. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So people believing and teaching things other than the truth, they won't be made free from sin. We need to correct them. If we love them. One other passage from the book of Romans I want to read that teaches that obedience is necessary is Romans 2, 6 through 11. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Jew Gentile, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there's no respect to persons with God. Obedience is necessary according to that passage. Send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com.